The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
So that people can know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because we know that time is short and there will be a day that we will all have to stand before Him and give an account of what we've done in our body, whether good or evil. And I want Him to say on that day, "Well done, my good and faithful servant."
Coming up, Lorenzo Sewell explains the responsibility of the church today.
Jesus said, "Do your good works before men so they can glorify my Father, which is in heaven."
I look forward to the days that we get to come and be with you on Life Today. I'm James Robinson. This is Betty. And we have a guest that just, first time I heard him, I'm telling you, I knew I was hearing from somebody whose power God was all over. His name is Lorenzo Sewell. He's from Detroit, Michigan, 180 Church. He prayed the heavens down at the inauguration. Everybody there knew it. And I could hardly wait to meet him. And Lorenzo, to have you sitting here a second time in our studio. And look at that smile. And man, you look sharp.
Thank you.
Did you realize, and we may talk a little bit about how you ended up even being there, but did you realize that God just came on you during that inaugural prayer, that it was just kind of an amazing moment?
I knew that the Holy Spirit wanted to do something special. When I saw the date, when I saw that it landed on our entire country celebrating Martin Luther King's birthday, when I saw our president say, "Today is Liberation Day," the only thing I thought about is there's the only place you can get liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And I think about our founding fathers. I think about how they would hold church service in that rotunda. Can you imagine it? Looking up into the heavens, seeing the power and the Spirit of God move on our nation. I knew that God was doing something special. I knew it wasn't about me, because no man knows what he should pray as he ought. That's why I never wrote anything down, like you never wrote anything down. Just from my heart, just praying in the Spirit of God, glorified His Son Jesus. We've had people come from all over the world. Can you imagine it? People come to our church. We've had our Jewish brothers and sisters get in their car, travel all the way from New York, hear the gospel, get baptized. We've had atheists come into our church saying, "I never believed in Jesus, never believed in the church, but when you prayed that day, I knew I needed to come to Detroit," and we're having a Holy Ghost good time.
Wow. Well, I believe that God has anointed you, and I told you this when I talked to you, with as great an anointing as Martin Luther King had.
Thank you, sir.
And I think it's actually for a greater moment in history. Martin Luther King was just such a gift. And I think that Lorenzo is a gift, but I believe he's a gift at a time when the whole church can begin to look like Jesus, when the family of the Father will begin to look like Him. I sense that people are going to begin to love one another across all barriers and lines. Do you sense that miraculously beginning to happen?
We believe that there's a revival that's about to happen right here in America like we've never seen. Like even back in your day when you saw stadiums filled with people. I believe for such a time as this, when the devil meant it for evil, God is about to work it out for good in our nation in ways that we've never seen before.
Well, I believe people are at a desperation point. They are looking for real truth.
Yeah.
And that truth is Jesus. Amen. And if we wear God's armor and His truth in our hearts and on our countenance, they're going to see Him, aren't they?
Amen. Amen.
You know, we have a very similar background in a lot of ways. You didn't have a stable home. I didn't, a product of a rape. Mother gave me away with an ad in the paper and came and got me and kept me for 10 years of just no houses on the street, no decent place to live. And it just, you know, my life just like went to hell. And I had to run away from home because the man that raped my mother came back in our home and tried to kill her and said he was going to kill me. I nearly killed him, and I basically ran away. And it was in that place that Jesus really got a hold of me, and of all things, at 18, called the shyest kid on the planet to preach. And then when he called me to preach, he told me I was to never use notes. Well, I was talking with you and even with your wife, was Molly sitting there listening, but you don't use notes. Is that true?
Yeah, I believe that the Spirit of God in each moment, if you seek Him in secret, He will reward you openly. From the overflow, we talked about that, right? Preaching and praying and ministering from the overflow. When you sit at His feet, we have the confidence to know that He's able to come in any moment. He's able to minister an in-season word, a rhema word. The Bible says it's like apples of gold in the setting of silver. Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. Now, we know He wasn't talking about food because earlier He said, don't think about what you shall eat, drink, or wear. We know He was talking about the bread of life, Him, the sustenance for our soul. So when we stand up and we minister the gospel of Jesus Christ, we do it in such a way that we believe that God can do it in the moment. And it's the same thing when we prayed at the inauguration. A lot of people ask me, why didn't you write down your prayer? I told them, because I'm praying to my Father, you're just overhearing the message. I'm talking to the King of Kings. I'm talking to my Father. You're just being blessed by the message.
Well, and they are. Okay, tell me what you see God doing. And we believe God brought us together. I feel like God literally in some ways brought me into your life to be a sort of a spiritual father.
Amen.
You know, I'm 80 and you're what, 20? Anyway, don't you feel like God did bring us together?
Absolutely.
When I was drawn to you and I just simply offered to help. And I found out that you are having such a heart for the homeless, for the hurting, for the people that have been trampled, for they've never had a home. What turned you on this way? And why is it that you feel like you're supposed to just yield your life to Him, let Him flow His word through you, kind of like He did with me? He told me not to use notes. You don't use them. You could if you needed to or wanted to. But what do you think God is in the process of doing right now?
You know, Jesus is in the business of going to the disenfranchised, the marginalized, and the pushed aside. And we've seen that in our ministry. We've seen it where Jesus will bring to us those who are home free. We don't call them homeless. Mm-hmm. And we believe that God wants us to raise up an army of urban missionaries in the city to reach the world. We believe that Jesus Christ wants us to raise up all throughout this nation, urban missionaries, people who understand the pain right in their context, in their Jerusalem, so they then can go to Judea, then Samaria, then to the uttermost parts of the world. Now, why is that? Because Jesus said that's when the Holy Spirit comes. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't empower us to do anything but be His witnesses, mm-hmm. so that people can know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because we know that time is short and there will be a day that we will all have to stand before Him and give an account of what we've done in our body, whether good or evil. And I want Him to say on that day, well done, my good and faithful servant.
Well, you know, we immediately, when I found out you were trying to help the people that desperately needed help, we immediately gave you pretty large gifts.
Yes.
Tell people what it is you're doing right now.
So right now, we're helping young men that come out of foster homes. So typically in our context, when you age out of foster care, young men, they're home free. And the reason why we focus on young men is because if you can get a man right, then the family can get right, right? We're here in this living room. We're inviting the viewers into the home so they can be able to have the father's home.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing here. It's the same thing. And if we're able to minister to young men and teach them how to love Jesus with all their heart, all their mind, all their soul, and all their strength, if we're willing to reach out to the Peters, as it were, to the Johns, to those that the community perhaps would say, there's no way Jesus can meet them. We feel that if we have a mechanism through transportation, housing, education, and healing that medical, mental, and dental illnesses, them, T-H-E-M, Jesus said what? Whatever you do for the least of these, my brothers, you do for me. And that's our ministry. That's our mission. That's what we're doing right now with the amazing help of your organization. We've been able to purchase a home, renovate homes, and now we have a plan to build homes so that young men don't have to worry about living in an atmosphere that pulls them away from Christ. We want them to be in an atmosphere where they can be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, this has started in Detroit.
Yes.
You see it spreading to the whole nation?
Absolutely. And this is why. Because if you do what Jesus, see, Jesus, He had the best model. We don't have to reinvent the wheel, right? He had the best model. He took a group of men, right? He took a group of people like you and I, right? People that the world would say we're trash, but God made us his treasure, you see? What other people say is trash. Mm-hmm. He's a great recycler, isn't he? Jesus is the great recycler through his redemption and his power. And you take these young men all throughout the country, then what happens is once they understand the gospel, then they will have a heart not only to reach their own community, then to reach the nations. And that's what we want to be, a church in the city to reach the nations, because Jesus said what? My house shall be called a house of prayer for every nation.
When I began to reach out to you, did you hear anything in your spirit? And did you, as we got together now, I've met your precious wife, and she'll be on the next program with us, and she's a, boy, she's a treasure. What, did you hear God saying anything, or did this speak to you in any way, the fact that we were pulled together when we had no idea about, you didn't, you all didn't even know we had a television program. And you certainly hadn't watched it, your wife had. But anyway, what did you feel after I invited you here, and what were you hearing?
I got on my knees yesterday, 3 o'clock in the morning, got on my knees, and I prayed for our time together. And this is what I heard, double. It's interesting how God gave Job double for his trouble. We've been through a lot, but I feel like God is going to do double with our ministries working together. I look at Elijah and then Elisha. We don't talk a lot about Elisha, but he did double the miracles. And I do believe that God has placed a mantle on your ministry, and I believe that I'm here in order for us to do double together.
Amen.
And I believe that. Has God said anything to you about this couple?
Well, they're a wonderful couple.
The other half tomorrow.
It's very evident that Jesus is first in their life, you
Thank
know.
You.
And that's just beautiful to watch. But you know, y'all are talking about coming together. I don't believe it was by accident or anything. It was God's prophetic timing for us to see you that day there with the president coming into office, and to hear you and to hear your heart mainly is what we did. And when I heard you pray, I think I remember I stood up and raised my hands and I said, God, thank you. And so I don't think anything's an accident in what God plans for a union of two ministries together to double, like you said,
Amen.
Make it much, much more effective. So we're glad to be joined with you.
Thank
How
you.
Do you pray that the viewers will help us do what God's led you to do? And I'm talking about helping you. I've got a ministry all over the world that you have been supporting that never would have been. And it's going to be far after we've gone, because we're going to have in place the opportunity of keeping it going and even growing. And that's what we do together, because we couldn't do one thing that our heart moves toward, because God moves our heart toward that situation. We could not address the situation without you. You are the ones that enable us not to be empty-handed with a broken heart, but with a broken heart and offer to those hands food, help, life, all that they need. You do it. I believe God's going to raise people up, and I believe He'll help us together to get the whole church to begin to do what you're talking about, where we can actually get God's arms around the whole world. Do you bear witness with that?
I believe that with everything inside of me, because right now in cities like Detroit, we have 4,500 churches. Can you imagine that?
4,500.
So we're over church, but under disciple. There's no good deeds. Some pastors have said that the greatest sin of the black church is not helping their own community. And we feel that with our connection, we'll be able to reach those practical needs like you do all around the world, in terms of meeting the needs of the young people where they are, meeting the needs of the family where they are. I think about, some people talk about the term of exegeting the culture, being able to look at the culture and pull from the culture what's happening and cast those cares upon Christ. That's one of the reasons why we focus on transportation. People can't get to resources, so they can't become a resource. That's why we focus on housing. If you don't change somebody's atmosphere, you can never shift their paradigm. The Bible says we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. This is why we focus on education. We understand that it's not just hard skills, but it's soft skills. It's learning how to look a man in his hand, look at him in his eyes and shake his hand. A lot of our young men have never had anybody teach them how to do that. It's formal education and informal education. And then the medical, mental, and dental illnesses. If you don't reach these practical needs, people can't see the Father. Remember what Jesus said. Jesus said, do your good works before men so they can glorify my Father, which is in heaven. That's what I believe our ministries can do together, not just to stop in Detroit, but to go all over our nation and then send an army all over the world so that we can see a great harvest come all for God's glory.
We sent help to you as our friends continue to help us. We'll continue to reach out and help you as we do others. But if people who are watching say, how can I help you build what you're talking about already started there in Detroit that you believe can go all over America, where would they write or where would they go online to find it?
Well, it's 180 Church. That's the name. That's where our ministry is. They can go to 180church.cc. They can go right online. They can give online. Our people can partner. They can come and give to what they're already giving to your ministry, and maybe they can double it.
Yeah.
And we can see what God can do in that regard.
Father, thank you so much.
Thank you, Lord.
I really do believe that I'm talking to a man that has as great a call and as great a gifting and anointing as Martin Luther King did. And to be honest, in some ways, I see it even deeper and greater. You've done something in him and in his wife that is going to, I believe, be like spiritual dynamite, only in a very positive sense of destroying that which needs to be thrown out, down, and build up that which must be built up. And I just pray, God, you'll pour your blessings out all over him and through him and his wife and the whole ministry there in Detroit. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Lorenzo, we're going to stand by you.
Thank you.
We're going to be brothers forever.
Amen.
And we're going to try to get the church family to look like the Father.
Amen.
And I believe we're going to succeed. You help us. You see where to communicate with him directly. Lorenzo, right now, we're trying to get enough support to literally feed 350,000 children that we've found that are basically facing starvation. I want you to listen to Esau Pretorius. It was his father that took Betty and me to the poorest people on the planet, and we never left. We wanted to actually stay there and just be missionaries at their side. And they said, please don't. Go back. Get help so we can stay and not be empty-handed. Well, we did it. Now nearly 40 years, over 30 years since we met Peter. Here's his son. Peter went to heaven a few years ago. Listen to his son with our mission team right now talking about the pain of loss because of hunger. Watch closely.
I'm here with a lady called Dominga. She's had two children, Franzinho and Moses. She's been sharing her story with us, and what you see is a mother with no hope, with lots of pain, broken because Moses is no longer with her.
I had a little bit of weight. I had a diarrhea from Thomas atrás. Chegamos em casa, a vitória se acabou.
She did all she could for Moses. Moses didn't die because Dominguez didn't do enough, didn't love enough, didn't care enough. She represents what so many mothers all over this continent represent, mothers who literally will do anything for their children. You know, my dad used to have a statement. He would say, are you man enough to be an African woman? Are you prepared to do what these mothers would do? She lost a child because there was nothing more she could do. Absolutely nothing more. And that's why she is the broken woman that she is. But it's also why she shares the fear around her remaining child. I'm scared that he's gonna die too. I've seen the pain inside of this woman. I see the desperation and I see the fact that she has no hope. I hope you'll respond and say, yes, I'll do whatever I can do. Without you, it is impossible for me to leave here and give her a promise that her child won't suffer the fate that Moses did. We can't solve her broken heart for the loss of Moses, but we can restore hope, joy, and life.
Betty, I've held so many as you have, little children, sometimes holding them in their mother's arms, trying to give comfort to both. And when you see the pain, it's almost unbearable. impossible to actually describe. And you can see it far worse from what you saw right there, where Esau was just kneeling with a particular example of loss and the desire not to lose more. But Betty, when our viewers watch and they see the need and they see the pain and they understand the cost of not getting food is death, it has moved our viewers. Do you feel today that our viewers understand the importance of when we say we found 350,000 children, that's situations like you just saw, but we can be the difference and we can see everything change? And do you believe they will be caught by the reality of that and the need for the compassion to be expressed?
I absolutely do. I feel as though, you know, how as I feel as a mother that's also lost a child, 40 years old, but she was still my daughter. She was my child. And so I know the loss that mother felt, but she has another child that she will lose too if we don't get help for that child. Can you please, with us, join together and let's be the hands to feed those children. Let's provide the nourishment that they need so that she can enjoy her other child grow up and watch him also someday come to know the Lord, which we also do. We share Christ with them. We feed their tummies. We fill them up, and then we present Jesus to them. That's a full package, wouldn't you think? So please join with us, and let's do it again.
It's been a miracle to watch. You know, Betty and I have been so blessed. We lost a daughter, and when she was 40, 12 years ago, and we now have six grandchildren that she watches from heaven. But we have over 30 grandchildren, and we get to look at them and watch them live a healthy life. And we long for that for others. And don't tell me it can't happen in Africa and third world countries, because we're seeing it happen. We're seeing where children are just being buried nonstop, and go back, Betty, and see them in a church building singing praises, just singing the joy to the Lord. And I remember leaving one really big church where they had buried over 10,000 in the big graveyard that we had seen when we first found them in desperation. And then we began to feed and been feeding for 10 years or more, and went back and saw all these kids. They had on clothes that they had been donated from all over the world, because we asked people to send clothes. But they also were singing hymns and songs, and they just looked brand new. Matter of fact, they said, "We hope now that you see us that you'll still keep coming back," because we were still feeding them. But we were feeding them at the schoolyard, which was the church. That's where they were having school. So, Betty, when our viewers are touched by God and moved by God to extend His hands, miracles happen. Would you right now go and get your bank card and maybe use it for the best reason you've ever used it in your life, and make the largest gift you can to help us save those children's lives? $30, $50, or $100 literally will enable us to feed 3, 5, or 10 children. Would you do that? Could you give $1,000? Could you feed 100 children? I don't know what you can do, but do it. Make the best gift you can. If you want to write a check, make it to Life. Go now, get that card or get that check. But if you write a check, call us and tell us what you're sending. Please do it. We have some beautiful gifts to bless you in your life and in your personal health. But please be the miracle some mother longs for, some child desperately needs.
Right now, across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition and even death. With food reserves gone and many areas experiencing severe famine, we urgently need to replenish supplies to keep feeding the 350,000 children who are counting on us. Through Life's Mission Feeding Outreach, your gift of love can be an answer to prayer for a hurting and hungry child in their time of need. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you Natural Remedies. This beautifully illustrated book explores ancient nutrition and the health benefits found in God's creation to help you live your best life. With your gift of $100 or more, please request your health and wellness bundle. This 3-book set includes natural remedies as well as essential fasting, a simple eating strategy to accelerate weight loss, crush cravings, and reverse aging, and the probiotic diet that gives effective strategies to improve digestion, boost brain health, and supercharge your immune system. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more, which will help feed 100 children. And you may request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Lion of Judah. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Hi, I'm Jordan Rubin, and for over two decades, my wife Nikki and I have been supporting the Ministries of Life. With any gift to Mission Feeding, you will transform the lives of 350,000 children in Africa by giving them nutritious food and a hope for the future. With your gift, you'll receive a powerful wellness bundle, which can bring the power of health and nutrition into your own home. Transform the lives of thousands and your own family. Do it today.
Without your help, these children will not survive. With your help, they're doing more than surviving. They're thriving. They're strong. They're healthy. They're brave. They're courageous. And they're going to go on to do amazing, wonderful, wonderful things. They have a great future ahead of them because of the things that we give them. Life. There is life in this cup that will change your world. If you've never had a chance to be a part of such an incredible ministry like this, one that you can truly trust, that is going to follow through with every promise they speak of, I would encourage you, I would challenge you at this moment. Because it's not just something that's going to bless their lives. The truth is, it's something that's going to bless your life. So if you would go to your phones right now and make that call, or go online, every single call that comes in at this very moment is going to bring life to another child.
Well, I believe with all my heart, you're going to respond. Lorenzo, you just hear the very plain, clear, essentially important message that I just delivered, and you realize what it does. And you think of the tens of thousands of children and lives that have been saved, millions have been saved, by people reaching out and expressing the love of God. That's what you want to happen right here, in areas where you assume everything's okay when it's not even close. And I believe God's going to use us together. You be praying for us. You're going to meet his wife, Molly, the next program. Don't you miss it. And you're going to love her. Thank you so much. Please do get this, like, natural remedies, ancient nutrition. You know, you can really learn a lot. And we've got some incredibly gifted authors that are sharing. And Jordan Rubin is one of them, and he sure helped a lot of people. We'll send these to you to say thank you. Thank you so much for giving life.
Took us from being homeless to now being very philanthropic in the work that we do for him.
Lorenzo and Molly Sewell share their story.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.